to the end of the chapter, to the end of what this is a pivotal moment in the story of Christ here as he heads toward the cross, and he has finished with this upper room experience. And last week we looked at how he addressed the disciples and told them that he was going to give them a new commandment. He told them that he was going away and that he is now going to give them a new commandment. And in that, we see Simon Peter, who is once again a little confused, and once again a little vocal. And he speaks up and asks questions about the events that have just transpired. Unfortunately, I think he is missing the point just a little bit. We pick up here again at the end of the chapter, these last three verses, and Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" At the end of what has taken place, we have his question, "Where are you going?" That was all Peter could come up with. Jesus had just, if we back up, he has just given them in verse 34 the new commandment, the great commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, also love one another. And Peter wakes up and looks at the word Jesus and says, "There you go." I've never had an experience like that where you told somebody your story, you told somebody what was going on and your situation, and when you got done, they asked you a question that just caused you kind of, in at home, that kind of thing. We all had those kind of experiences. I want you to see, look at this one, in these three verses, the three things that Peter gets wrong. Peter just absolutely, one of the sayings we sometimes hear. That's kind of the way the words of Jesus here are with Peter. They just kind of shoot right over his head. He just absolutely, I'm sure, again, I have a decent imagination sometimes in my bedroom. I can picture Peter, he's just sitting there, he's just kind of been, taking in everything. He's been watching what went on with Judas, he's been watching, he was most likely, would be the most likely candidate for the one who knows John and said, asking, what he's talking about. And finally, we get to this point, and Jesus, you've got to remember, when Jesus here says that, about leaving and going away, he's been telling them now for a good while that he was going back. He's been preparing them for this for some time. And all of a sudden, it's like the lights go on at Peter's house, and he's kind of, "Hey, where are you going?" And so the first thing that is obviously going on here, like many of us, Peter has the wrong concern. Peter is concerned about the wrong thing. Jesus has just given him what amounts to the greatest commandment. Love one another like I have loved you. Now, let's think about again the magnitude. We spent some time in that commandment last week. Let's just refresh our memory. Christ says to Peter, "You love like I loved you." Look, that's a pretty high bar to set. To say, "I want you to love each other the same way I love you." And you think perhaps one of Peter's questions would have been, "Well, how do I do that?" lot of serious questions that have been, given him. You can think of a lot of questions that would come out of love one another the way I have loved you. You can think of a multitude of questions. Well, haven't I already been doing that? Think about it. There are just, that statement, love one another the way I have loved you, just leads itself to, it needs a little bit of explanation in my world. I don't know about you. I hope I would have had some questions about that statement. You said we don't love each other now. Exactly. What should we do differently? Like a lot of us, you kind of got a little bit of a guilty conscience. You say, "Wow, what do we do?" There's a lot of questions that come out of loving one another the way I have loved you. And yet, when Peter comes to, when Peter's brain kicks in, his question is, "Where are you going? There you go." Now, I'm not saying where Jesus was going was not important. We know where Jesus was going. Jesus was going to the cross. We know where he was going was important. But at the moment, I'm not sure that was the most relevant thing for Peter to be concerned about. And so, Peter, to begin with, we see he has the wrong concern. And unfortunately, I think many times, even still today, we as Christians today, we are in the same boat as Peter. We wake up every now and then, we come to every now and then, and we have the wrong concern. We have the wrong question. We are, we get, all you have to do is look through church history. And throughout history, the church has a record of having the wrong concerns. They have a record of thinking and worrying about the wrong thing. Whether you're talking about in theology or otherwise, we often, in church history, we have we're more concerned about dress code. We're more concerned about style of music. We're more concerned about the thermometer. We're more concerned, about a lot of those kinds of things, which translates to the Bible. On and on I could go of the things that consumed the church's attention over the years. Over the years, it's been you know the things. I'm not taking sides. I'm not at all. I'm just giving you some examples of majoring. Let's say majoring on mind. We've been worried about card playing. We've been worried about dance halls. We've been worried about movie theaters. There are a lot of things that have consumed us over the years. When it comes theologically, you tell me which one will have the biggest crowd. We're going to plan two conferences. One of them, we've got two rooms we're going to use. We're going to use this room, and we're going to use that closet. Well, that's the room, not really the closet. We're going to use this room and that room. In this room, we're going to talk about end-time events and the return of the Lord. In that room, we're going to talk about how to be a better disciple. Which one needs to be in which room? Ruined my own punch line. The end-time events need to be in the big room. Being a disciple can be in that room. Nothing wrong. We need to know about end time event. We need to know about the return of Christ. But the truth of the matter is, we need to be more concerned about being disciples to each other. That's the problem. We are our concerns, like Peter, we have often the wrong concern. Again, where Jesus was going was important. That Peter and the other disciples loved one another as he loved them was more important than Peter anyway. Because Peter and these other disciples now are going to have the responsibility, they're going to have the task of going out into the society, into the world, loving the world, showing the world the love of Jesus Christ, and building the church. Where Jesus was going was important, but it was important to Jesus. Where loving one another was important, and it should have been important to Peter. I think of the words of Paul. When Paul wrote those words near the end of his life, and he said, "I have finished my course. I finished my course. I haven't run somebody else's. I haven't been over here involving this or this or this. I've done what God called me to do." I don't know that there can be a greater funeral message for any believer than to get there into the end of their life and say, spiritually speaking, not just spiritually speaking, but get to the end of their life and say, that person came to the business. Spiritually and otherwise, that's where you are. Listen, Peter had the wrong concerns. But what Jesus, again, he's not saying that the red horse of Revelation is not important. It's not saying that the meaning of that particular Greek word has no bearing. But what we have to understand is what is important. Our calling, our task, our job, what God is sending us to do, what God is calling us to do. We spend so much of our Christian walk worrying about what someone else is doing in their Christian walk. You can't walk and watch somebody else's sins. Especially the older you get. The older I get, the more I got to pay attention to my sins. Or I won't be stepping anymore, I'll be crawling. I'll be on the right. Listen, spiritually speaking, like Peter, we need to stay focused on the task. We need to stay focused on our task. Now, for example, one of our tasks is to love one another like Christ loved us. Can I tell you how much problem that was solved in the church throughout history? If we would have been more concerned about loving one another like Christ loved us, then what color are we going to paint the walls? How much grief and sorrow it would have solved over the history of the church if we would have been more concerned about loving one another as Christ loved us than getting all in a tizzy about who was going to have what room for Sunday school or Bible school or what Sunday school books were going to use or what the picture on the bulletin was or you left my name off the prayer list or you didn't include my announcement or let me go on. We make sure we're concerned about the things that matter. Here's a good prayer for us. Lord, let me be concerned about what you are concerned about. Let me be concerned about what you are concerned about. Lord, let me add two words to that statement that you might need to change. Lord, let me be concerned about what you are concerned about for me. Lord, let me be concerned about what you are concerned about for me. Let me give you an example of that. Some of you saw me walking out earlier with a mask on. I think is probably the only time I have had on a mask since this whole thing started, other than going into a doctor's office where they made me. And but I refuse to wear it because I have a blue side.
Amen.
Just so you know, I'm not crazy, and I know what I'll do. I intentionally put the Carolina blue side in. So, you know why I don't have masks? Because my son, my little girl, said, "Jay, you're a diabetic. If you're going to be walking around the street, you need to wear a mask." Now, I would have been one of the harshest women in these rooms. Maybe, I've got a mask laying in my car. Well, my little girl said, "Daddy, put on that mask." What she was concerned about for me, concerned me. God, what are your concerns for my life? What are your concerns for my spiritual walk? I'm happy with my prayer life. Are you happy with my prayer life? I'm happy with the way I love others. Well, are you happy with the way I love others? And Lord, let me be concerned about the same thing you're concerned about for me. Peter had the wrong concerns. Notice the second thing in this passage. The second thing Peter got wrong was not only did he have the wrong concern, but if you look in this next verse, Peter also, he has the wrong conscience. Look what he says in verse 37. Peter says, "Lord, why can't I look back up and finish that verse?" Jesus says, basically, I'm going to paraphrase here. Jesus says, "It doesn't really matter, Peter, because where I'm going, you can't go anywhere." And Peter responds in verse 37 and says, "Why can't I follow? When we begin to be concerned about the things that God is concerned And we have that lens gives us God-sized vision and God-sized dream. We come to the point where we say, you know what? I can't do that. I can't do it on my own. How many of you even know what a BHAG is? Am I know what a BHAG is?
They should if they ever heard him preach.
Be careful. BHAG. B-H-A-G. If you don't know, you haven't been to Jesus as I told you before.
Yep.
A BHAG. Jerry, all over you, you use this phrase all the time. When he looked over Lynchburg, he basically said, God's going to give me the city of Lynchburg. God's going to give me that mountain to build a church on, a college on, all those kind of things. God's going to give me, you know, I remember one time I was there, we were at the basketball arena, I think. Yeah, but it's a basketball arena sometimes when they have church in it, it's chapel. But we were in the basketball arena, and the Brooklyn Tabernacle Center were there, and I mean, God was just showing up. And a member called up his up, and he walks up to the platform, and that time, the main campus building was just one level, just a flat roof. And the vision was to build 3 stories on top of it. If you ever see the picture of anything every now, you will see the picture that they always show is the Moss Building. It's a big building with the huge white columns in front of it. When I was there, it was just a plain, flat, red building. Paul L. walks up, and he says, I have somebody who is willing to give me $1 million. I think it was $1 million, whatever $1 million we raised. To put the other 3 floors on that building. I believe God's going to give us $3 million, so they'll give us $3 million. Pass the plate. That's a BHAG. A big, hairy, audacious goal. That's a BHAG. Something that only God can do. Peter believed he could do it. You know what? If I can do it, it's not a God-sized vision. It's not a God-sized vision. What I want God to do in our church is something that I can't do. What I want God to do in your life and in my life is something I can't do. I want God to do something that when He's done, everybody in the season steps back and looks and goes, God did that. God did that. God changed him. God changed her. God built that church. God did that. That is my ambition in life. I hope it's yours. Peter had confidence. And that's great to have confidence. But Peter, his confidence was strictly in his own ability. Where I'm going to go, Peter didn't exercise any faith. He doesn't say, Lord, you can do it. Lord, I can follow you. Listen, Peter's got the wrong concern. When he has the wrong concern, you have the wrong confidence because you're only concerned about things you can do to begin with. You get concerned. When God gives you a vision, you step back and look at it and go, I can't do that. No. That's out of my power. I'm going to need you. This Peter has the wrong confidence. He has the wrong concern. But then, trying to look at this last verse, Jesus answered and said, will you let him go after me? Will you? Will you? And then we have those words for all of them. Very rarely, I say to thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter, he has the wrong commitment. He has the wrong concern. He has the wrong confidence. But he has the wrong commitment. Peter is committed. Peter is determined. No doubt. But it's the wrong commitment. He is committed to his purpose, to his cause, and he has missed completely what Jesus just said. Love one another like I love you. Can anybody show me anywhere where Jesus ever said to people, I want you to go with me? Take your time. Can you show me anywhere from Genesis to Revelation where Jesus ever said to me, I want you to go with me? It's not fair. But what he did say is, Peter, I want you to love each other the way I have loved you. Are we committed to be who and what God wants us to be? Amen. Some of you're committed. There are people all over this town who are committed to being the pastor of the church. Unfortunately, they've never been called the pastor of the church. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of people who are committed to being the worship leader in the church. Unfortunately, they're never called the worship leader. They're bound to turn to the job. Let's commit ourselves. Being who God wants us to be. Where he wants us to be. There are people in the churches who are committed. There are people, and how do I say this? There are church members sitting in their church who are committed to make their church the church down the street. Can I offer to you a suggestion? Rather than trying to make your church a church down the street, it would be much easier if you just go down the street. I'm sorry, if that makes you mad, maybe I can say something. Let's be the best church for churches. Let's be Poplar Grove. Let's be the church God wants us to be, has called us to be. Let's do what he wants us to do. Elephant in the room, for some of you, some of you don't care. I've been asked a million times in the last 2 or 3 months, what do you think about Elevation moving in Kmart? Praise God. Moving. I can move out my Kmart here for a lot here. You do Elevation, let us be popular. But if you like me, you like the opportunity to come to here, and let us be who God calls us to be. You be who God calls you to be. You be what God calls you to be. Be concerned about what God is concerned about. Be committed to what God is committed to. Be confident, not in yourself, but in God himself. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask you to bow your head for just one moment. Another area. Our church life, our worship life, that must be different right now, is this time of our service, our invitation. We're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to respond as God leads you to respond. If you want to come to kneel here, do so. I won't bother you. Just social distancing. We can talk after service. You want to be aware of says, see, you want to spend time with God. Lord, let me be concerned about what you are concerned about for me. This morning, you don't know Christ personally. You don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're sitting in this building. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you'll listen later on podcasts. Wherever you hear the gospel, if you don't know Christ this morning, if there's any way he's committed to, if there's any way he's concerned about, he is concerned about your eternity. He is concerned about your soul. He is so concerned that he went to a cross and died for your salvation. If you don't know Christ personally this morning, you've never asked him in your life. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, where you sit, wherever that is, in this room, in another state. A friend of mine had someone from Connecticut be saved on their Facebook Live broadcast this week. Wherever you are, Christ is concerned about your soul. So much of the God, you need to be concerned as well. Where you are, you have asked Jesus Christ in your heart, ask him to forgive you for your sins. Come into your life and be your Savior. I want to ask you to stand. Get in this room, however you should. Come and kneel. Say, Lord, let me be concerned about what you are concerned about. Come in. And kneel where you are, sit in your chair. Thank you. television on the side with the lyrics and things of words and there. I've been a conjecture because though it will last them about 5 or 6 times the service, I like the point of projection that line. And so it'll just be simple for me easier. So if you want to throw out some things, I'm going to be close. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your patience over the last 4 months. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to kind of dismiss from the back row, kind of peel off one at a time, your social distancing. Again, I know it feels like overkill. It feels I'd say there was some of these temperatures can't come in the door and think, oh, shoot. I hate pretty much everything that's going on. But I hate a lot of words. So I told you, I bid you right at me because we move slowly and cautiously. I bid a few ready for us. And I do one thing in the eye and tell somebody what I'm going to do. So do everything you can to keep safe. So, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to seal out. Go out the door there, socialize out in the parking lot together. With the front, we'll go out that way and walk around. That's cool if you do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for allowing us to gather this morning. I thank you for so much you allowing us to be back in person so I can look at the face of people who are singing, look at their faces as I preach, as we can just simply worship together. And I really call us to be here. We call us to worship together. And I thank you for providing that for us today. God, we ask you just to go with us as we leave here and protect and keep you to it. We'll give you an honor for it. In Jesus' precious name.
You could have gave me a warning.